Hey, Steve, are you sure God's not angry? The answer to that and other questions on this edition of Key Life.
Hi, I'm Mike Kellogg, and you are now listening to Key Life, where you can find honest answers to honest questions about God's Word. Now, here is Steve.
Thanks, Mike and Pete Allinson. Thanks so much for coming in. I appreciate it.
Good to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Christmas is over.
Yeah.
Did you have a good Christmas?
Prolifically, yeah.
We cannot tell a lie.
No.
We don't know whether we had a good Christmas.
No.
I mean, it could have been a really bad Christmas or a really good Christmas because we haven't had it yet.
Yeah, but I like Christmas, and I'm sure it's going to be a good one.
And I don't like Christmas, and I'm sure it was a bad one. No, actually, this is recorded before Christmas, and so we cannot tell a lie.
That's right. But you're doing some narrations in our Christmas Advent stuff at church. So that's
right. I'm Gabriel.
Yeah.
I'm Gabriel. I told somebody that. They said, "Oh no, not you, an angel." I mean, that you talking about bad casting.
Well, that's a delusion because a lot of people say your voice makes you sound like God. So.
Well, actually, that's going to be fun, and I'm going to enjoy doing that as a part of the new way we're going to candlelight.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't have to. I said I ain't doing this stuff. I have to put wings on or anything. Or one of those dresses. And the lady that does the drama said, "No, you don't have to do that." So they just said all I had to do was do the part.
We do hope everybody did have a good Christmas.
Yes, we do. We hope you had a good. Did you have a good Christmas, Eric? He doesn't know. He's our producer in the little glass booth. We got to get on these questions. We do love to get your questions, but you got to write them down. Send them to Key Life Post Office Box 5000, Maitland, Florida, 32794. Key Life Canada Post Office Box 28060, Waterloo, Ontario, N2L6J8. Or you can email us at steve@keylife.org with your regular mailing address. And you always get an answer on the broadcast or in the magazine or from me or a staff person. And don't use the 1-800 Key Life number for questions. You can get free tapes and CDs. You can get free booklets. You get the magazine free. You can make a contribution, but you got to write your question down. We're doing this in prayer, and then we'll get to these questions.
All right. Father, we do bow in your presence right now, and we do thank you for Christmas, and thank you for the opportunity to be reminded, along with all of your people and even our whole culture, what you did for us and sending Jesus for us. We're so thankful that he came and took on human flesh and that in his flesh he bore our sins and fulfilled the law and did all that was necessary so that we could be justified and adopted as your daughters and sons. And so we just come to you today thankful that we belong to you. And as we continue to grow and look forward to a new year, we pray that you would help us to grow deeper with you, recognizing that you are not angry at us because of Christ, and that all the blessings of heaven are ours, and we look forward to them given to us in fulfillment when he comes again. So, Lord, just bless our time, bless our worship this weekend, and prepare us to come and give to you what you deserve, honor and praise and glory. Be with Key Life, we pray, in a new year. Pray that this next year might be a time when many, many people hear your word for the first time and the grace of Christ affects their hearts and they come into the family. We pray that it will happen. Use Key Life and bless Steve, we pray, and our time now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. This first question, Pete, is an email. Eric, when we used to do a talk show, as you know, you were on a number of times, and it was way out of the box. I mean, it was fun. We had a comedy writer who wrote some very funny bits, and it got a little bit edgy at times. And I remember Eric saying one time on the air, and Eric was in the booth as he is now, as the producer, and he flipped on the microphone after we had done something particularly edgy, and he said, "Steve, what if you're wrong? In other words, if God's angry, we're in real bad trouble
here. That is really true.
And I get that question a lot. The person who asked this by email asks the question and then says, what about chastening? So we need to deal with both of those. I sort of fell into that. The Westminster talked about parts and passions of God. And I used that, and then I began to see the imputed righteousness of Christ. And this one time at a conference, I said, you know something? God's really not angry at you. And people just went, people looked so relieved. And I thought, you know, that's an important thing to remember, that he's not. What is chastening, then, if he's not angry?
Well, before I say something on that, I think you're right. You know, I've heard you say that so many times, and I say it myself. It's become part of my vocabulary. That we forget how profound that really is.
It really is.
And that many evangelicals were raised with this idea that, well, Jesus died for you and saved you, but God is still a little ticked off.
Yeah, if you get out of line, you're in serious trouble.
Yeah, and it's a huge thing to know that the Heavenly Father sees you as a beloved child, which is biblical truth. But he does chasten us. The chastening, you know, Hebrews 12 talks about God dealing with us as daughters and sons, and that involves discipline from time to time.
Oh, that's
what chastening is. And
it doesn't mean that you kill your son every time they say do something bad, or your daughter.
Right.
But it does mean that you have a concern that they do those things which are beneficial for them.
Yeah.
And that cause them to grow and to be in God's presence. If you've been being evil, Jesus said, how much more your Father in heaven?
Yeah, that's right.
You know, I've been reading a book by Armin Nicolai at Harvard. It's a wonderful book about, and maybe you recommended it, about
Freud
and Lewis.
I love it.
It's a debate between Freud and Lewis, and he's very fair with both.
Mm-hmm.
I would not have said anything good about Sigmund Freud, but Freud said that we decide what God is like by the way our parents, and particularly our father,
mm-hmm.
was in relationship to us. And you know, there's something to that.
Mm-hmm.
I think my father did some really bad stuff, but you know, he absolutely was unconditional in his life.
Mm-hmm.
Totally. He's never, people, you can get fathers saying, I'm going to spank you, son, but this is going to hurt me more. It's going to hurt you.
Yeah.
You think, sure, well, let me do it to you then. But my father spanked me twice that I can remember and wept both times.
Mm.
So there was this sense that there was chastening. But there wasn't I can never remember once. Now, my mother, that's a different thing. But I never once can remember a time when my father was angry at me, when I felt in any way rejected or unloved. And even though there was the booze problem and the other things, that part has helped me when I think, when Jesus says that you've been being evil, how much more your Father in heaven?
Mm-hmm.
That has extreme profound things.
Well, and it's really, really true, because that is reflected in this ministry, and it's reflected in the way you relate to people. I mean, you do, I've seen you accept people, and I said, I believe I would have said something else than you said.
And I'm good looking, too.
And, I tell you, this is going to be a new
Well, you're on a roll. No, I've internalized, and you have too, by the way, I've internalized the reality that God is unconditional with me, and I need to be unconditional with other people.
Yeah.
But that does not mean I'm going to be stupid.
That's right. And the reality is, the Father does sometimes discipline us, chasten us, in order to get our attention and to say, son, daughter, that is unproductive. You're going to kill yourself if you keep doing that, and you're not going to receive my blessing.
Yeah.
So he does discipline.
Sure, of course. This is from Illinois, and it's not unrelated to the last question. How can I divide true teaching, from error without being critical?
Yeah, don't we need to analyze or define what it means to be critical? Because we are critical all the time.
We're called to be critical.
We're called to be critical at some level. I think this is a core evangelical issue, because sometimes we are very critical, and yet that's a part of our calling.
Oh, yeah.
To judge between right and wrong.
And to hold up truth.
Exactly. So what does this mean? How can I divide true teaching from error without being critical? I was talking to somebody the other day who was telling me that they heard a guy up in some part of the country, a Christian radio person interviewing somebody who was involved with the Wiccan movement.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that this radio host was, and you've done this too with some people on your TV show. You let them say their view. Then you told the gospel, and you didn't convey you're a dirty, rotten jerk for holding your view. And I think
isn't that the issue?
Maybe
you don't. Maybe you can. You know, I can disagree with somebody without disvaluing them.
Yeah.
For their views.
Well, that's good. That's it. Disvaluing them. Even though it's the way is narrow, few are those who find it, and a lot of people are just killing themselves with what they believe and what they're doing with their lives.
Well, I know, and you're not supposed to put your hands over your eyes and say, "I never see any evil, or I never hear any evil, or speak evil." There's a sense in which, as Christians, we are called to be discerning. And what Jesus said about the mote and the splinter and about the judge not, he was not saying be dumb.
Right.
When Paul says in Romans 14 that who are you to judge another master's servant? Mm-hmm. They have to answer to their own servant. Paul wasn't saying, be really dumb about this and pretend you don't see anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Pete, I'm convinced that if you felt that I was off doctrinally, you would love me and you would tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm convinced that I would do the same thing with you.
Mm-hmm.
If I saw you were in deep sin, I wouldn't just ignore that.
Right.
I'd still love you.
Right.
But I'd come and tell you, and I'm convinced you'd do that with me.
That's right. And, yeah, that's so important. If we could flesh that out in our relationships, you know, even in the whole Calvinist-Arminian debate.
Oh, man, we become serial killers.
I know. And it's like, if we could say, you know, I'm a Calvinist, but I understand why the Arminian would think this. Or I'm an Arminian, but I see the biblical verses that the Calvinists wrestle with. If we could have that kind of dialogue, we could still be people of conviction and biblically based, and convey that we value the person. Which is, I think that's what you said. That's great.
So good. I mean, yeah. And that's so easy to say, and it's so hard to do.
It is.
But we're passionate. You know, one of the reasons that we fight is because we're the only people in the world think there's anything worth fighting about.
Yeah, that's true.
But you got to be really careful when you get on the road. How old is the world? This is from New York. My house is 10 years old.
Wow. And well, Bishop Usher said in the 1700s, you wouldn't, the earth was formed in 4004 BC.
Yeah.
Do you agree then?
No, but I have a lot of brothers and sisters who do.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think this is one of the things whereby you measure one's salvation.
No.
I'm not a young earth person. For those of you who know what that is, there.
12,000 years, 15,000 years, I know if you're young earth.
Yeah, right. And I would say that the earth is much older. But what I know, I'll be I'm not going to be here. Neither are you very soon. Thanks for coming in.
Amen.
I appreciate it. Hey, you guys, don't forget, T-Life is a listener-supported production of T-Life Network.